I want to talk to you about one of the most neglected topics, I believe, in the church world today. Matter of fact, I would venture to say there are some Christians that could go to church their whole life and never hear a single message on the Holy Spirit. I don't know why that is, because the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, you can't live the Christian life. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand God's word. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't be an effective witness for Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't grow in the character of Christ. If I was the devil, I would really, really, really try to make sure that Christians did not understand the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about why it is that some people do not talk about the Holy Spirit in church. A, I think the Holy Spirit has quite honestly just been ignored. Some people don't want to talk about it. They think, well, the Father's important. I mean, think about it. Jesus told us, when you pray, pray this way: our Father. So we want to talk to the Father. Well, we want to talk about Jesus. Why? Because, I mean, in the name of Jesus, you get saved. You trust in Christ as your Savior. So we want to talk about the Father. We want to talk about Jesus. But what about this whole Holy Spirit? We don't really need to talk about the Holy Spirit. I think he's just been ignored. Hopefully in this message today that you'll find out that we don't want to ignore the Holy Spirit. B, I think sometimes he's just simply been misunderstood. When the Holy Spirit is seen as an it and not a divine person, listen, you can ignore an it, but you don't ignore a person. John chapter 16, verse 13, listen to the words of our Lord. Here's what he said. Notice how many times the word he and him is mentioned. Watch this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. How many of you know the Holy Spirit's not an it, but a divine person? A divine person. Well, why is that important? Because you reverence a person. By the way, you honor a person. Oh, you can also grieve and quench a person. That's why Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? Quench not the Holy Spirit. To make one feel pain. So I think the Holy Spirit's often misunderstood. Sometimes he's ignored. Sometimes he's misunderstood. Now, I do want to think one of the reasons why he may be misunderstood, I just want to posit this thought with you, is it could be because the King James Bible, and I read the King James Bible, I teach out of usually the New King James Bible, because the fact is that the Greek was translated into Old King James English into Holy Ghost. And who wants to worship a ghost? I mean, isn't that Casper? I mean, think about that after all, you know. Like, I'm freaked out, a ghost, you know. Well, the Greek word is pneuma. Everybody say pneuma. And that is in English spirit, but it was translated hundreds and hundreds of years ago when the King James Bible, Holy Ghost. And so people are like, man, that's freaky, you know, a ghost, man. And we don't, and a ghost doesn't have personal qualities. It's like Darth Vader-ish. It's like, may the force be with you. It's like weird and freaky. No, the Holy Spirit's not a ghost. The Holy Spirit's a divine person that we reverence, that we honor, that we have communion with. So sometimes he's ignored, sometimes he's misunderstood. I think sometimes he's just flat out resisted. Oh man, this church down there, they talked about the Holy Spirit and, you know, somebody did something weird and I don't want to be related to weird people. Of course, everybody's always referencing somebody else that's weird. Y'all do realize that, right? And man, they did something weird and I don't want to be that. And anytime churches talk about the Holy Spirit, things get a little bit weird. And let me just help you with our stance at Church of the King. We're not going to let somebody who does something weird in the name of the Holy Spirit get us to back away from the genuine aspect of who God is by the power of his Spirit. In other words, we're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're going to contend for the supernatural, the genuine, the pure, the powerful. We're going to lean into the power of God's Spirit at Church of the King. So maybe he's been ignored in your life or misunderstood or resisted. I want to get very clear and be very clear here. When you come to Christ, when you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're born again. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, we don't worship three gods, it's one God. Everybody say one God. We worship one God with three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's not three gods, that's one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Technically speaking, God the Father's in heaven. Technically speaking, and you can't really divide the Godhead, but by way of illustration, he's in heaven, seated by the right hand of the Father is who? Come on, everybody say it. Jesus. So when you get born again, who comes to live in your heart? I tell you this, it's God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Your spirit. The Bible says before you come to Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. But after you come to Christ, you're born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. Paul said it this way. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you're not your own? Let me be clear. When you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. And yet, as we walk with God, we need the power of God. There is an infilling of God's power. I want to get clear as well. You're saved one time, but you're filled with God's Spirit multiple times. Pastor Steve, so wait a minute. So when you're saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. But yeah, the Holy Spirit not only comes to live in you, but the Holy Spirit also comes upon you for your unique assignments and the challenges. There's the anointing of the Spirit. There's the filling of the Spirit. The Spirit's in you, but the Spirit also comes upon you to give you the equipment to get the job done. What job done? To be a better mom, to be a better wife, a husband, to be a better architect, a better plumber. In other words, whatever it is to be a witness for Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you and he never leaves you as a believer as you trust in Christ, but he comes upon you to give you power to accomplish God's assignment for your life. You got to understand this. I think one of the greatest illustrations in the Bible that explains the difference of just the Spirit being within you versus the Spirit coming upon you to equip you for power. Somebody once says, well, Pastor, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, do you get more of God or does God get more of you? Both. I think it's found in Acts chapter 19. I love the account of the infilling of the Spirit. So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. Yes or no? The answer is yes. But there's also a coming upon. Some of you lack power in your life. You lack that power to overcome that addiction. You lack power to move through that grief. You lack power to break that thing that's holding you back. You lack power to have courage to be a witness for Christ on your campus. You lack power to stand up for Jesus in a pagan culture. And you're a Christian. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to heaven. The Spirit's within you, but you need fresh power. When you get fresh power, you're not getting resaved, you're getting refilled. Because there's a need for fresh power for the assignment that God has on your life. Acts chapter 19 is one of the greatest examples of this. Paul comes into the region of Ephesus, and he found some believers there who were Christians. They're Christians. Their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. They've been water baptized, but they lacked the fullness of the power of the Spirit. Watch this. Acts chapter 19. I'm trying to get you hungry in this message. If you leave today and you're not like, man, I need more of God's power, it's not getting resaved, but it's refilled. Acts chapter 19, verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. These weren't half-court Christians. These people were in, man. I mean, they were full on. Paul found some disciples. I mean, they're committed. Like, they've been at Next Steps at Church of the King. I mean, like, they are full-blown in, right? And he said to them, disciples, not the original 12 apostles, but these are disciples. People are getting saved. This is years after the day of Pentecost. And Christ has gone to heaven. He sits down at the right hand of the Father. And people are getting saved and born again. And he finds some disciples, he says. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Let me pause right there. If it's not possible for you, double negative, to not receive the fullness of the Spirit when you get saved, then why would Paul have asked him? In other words, he's saying when you get saved, the Spirit comes within you, but you still need fresh power for your daily assignment. You need fresh power. I need fresh power. He said, hey guys, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said, we've not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. Boy, that there are sections of Christianity. They sing about it in the doxology. But if you ask them to break it down theologically and biblically, who the Holy Spirit is and what does he do and the gifts of the Spirit, they would say, I'm really not sure. That's our fault as pastors. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said, We have not so much as heard whether there's a Holy Spirit. And he said, into then what were you baptized? So they said, well, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after them. And that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So these are disciples. They're followers of Jesus. They've been water baptized. They got a t-shirt at Church of the King that says, I have decided. They had a change of clothes after church because they forgot one. I mean, they're in. Their names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're Christian people. They've been water baptized. And yet, Paul says, there's more. I want to say to everybody, all those locations, there's more. Can y'all say that with me, the count of three? One, two, three. There's more. There's more of God's power available to you on a daily basis. There's more. God, I need more of your power, more of your power. I'm not getting resaved. I'm getting refilled with God's power. Why? Because I got some tasks ahead of me that I can't do in my own strength. I can't live the Christian life in my own strength. So watch what happens. And when Paul laid hands on them, Pastor, does somebody have to lay hands on you to get filled with the Spirit? No, but sometimes it just helps. Point of contact. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. So the Spirit's in them because they're Christians, but now the Spirit comes upon them to fill them with power. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. I'll say it again. If it wasn't possible that someone could be saved and yet not filled with the fullness of the Spirit, Paul would have not posed that question. So my question is, when was the last time you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, Pastor, back in 1974. What about 1975? Come on. Well, Pastor, I was at Freedom Retreat. Man, it was powerful. Somebody came up and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but what about the next day? And then the next day? And then the next day? We're not diminishing or de-emphasizing that moment, but that was a moment. And it was powerful, and you were filled, and God graced you with amazing supernatural strength. But yet you've got challenges today that are bigger than you, that you need a fresh and filling of God's power. And God's power is available. How many are grateful that God's power is available for us? Not a force, not a ghost, but the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Paul said it this way, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled. Everyone say filled. Be filled with the Spirit. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people that know Jesus. This is the church at Ephesus. These are not unbelievers. Were they saved or they not saved? Yes, they're saved. The Spirit's in them, but they still need the Spirit to come upon them with fresh and filling on a daily basis. Why? Because there's challenges in their life that are bigger than them. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure everybody's facing something that's bigger than you. And you need fresh power. Fresh and filling in God's power. Watch what Paul says. But be filled with the Spirit. The verb tense is the word for filled. In the verb tense is the present in the Greek. Present active continuous. So in other words, Paul could have said it this way. Here's how he could have said it. Be continually being filled. Isn't that cool? In other words, not a one. You get saved one time, but you're filled every day as you cry out to God. I need fresh power. God, fill me with your Spirit. Matter of fact, at the end of our service, all of our locations, I'm going to lead you through a prayer how I pray each day. Doesn't have to be this way, but just something that I do. I'll never forget, I gave my heart to Christ. Two girls led me to Christ. And right after I got saved, a good friend of mine named Vince. So the girls that led me to Christ, one girl's name was Linda, the other one was Nicole. I had three really close friends growing up, Robbie, Vince, and Dennis. Vince, I led to Christ right after I got saved, 2 months after I got saved. And Vince, I'll never forget, he's saved, I'm saved, we're serving God. And Linda one night, she called both of us, she goes, hey guys, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. And she goes, she had an apartment, she goes, I want you both to come over, bring your Bibles. And so we sat down at the kitchen table, and so she goes, you're a Christian, you're serving God, but you need to know about the power of the Holy Spirit. I thought, well, all right, like I'm open, I'm in. She opens up in the book of Matthew and Jesus is talking about, and you know, one coming at, or you know, John says, one coming after me, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And she's talking about baptism is the word immersion. And I'm like, man, that's cool. And then she gets to Acts chapter 2 and on the day of Pentecost, and they're all together and they're praying, and the power of God comes, and they begin to glorify God, and all the, it's amazing, and singing different languages and power. And like, that's cool. And then she goes, oh, wait, but those same people in Acts chapter 2, they got threatened, and in Acts chapter 4, the same people that are saved cried out to God, and God filled them again. And I thought, well, that's cool. And then she goes to Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible says that Philip the evangelist goes down to Samaria. By the way, the first people that got the gospel outside of the Jews were Samaritans, were half Jews. Philip preaches, people get saved, and the church of Jerusalem hears about it. She's leading me through this. And they send out Peter and John, and the Bible says, and they laid hands on them, they're saved, and the Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophets. It's powerful. I thought, whoa, this is amazing. And then she gets to Cornelius and the power of God in Acts chapter 19. And I mean, I was like, at the end of it, I'm like, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Kind of like Thanksgiving Day. You know, mom, what's for dinner? You know, what's for Thanksgiving? Well, it's turkey and dressing. And they start talking about it more and more. And then your glands. Even when I said that, your glands, you felt it. You felt it. I was so hungry. I was like, and you know what? I said, Linda, just pray for me. I remember Vince and I, you know, we were at the kitchen table. I'm just like this, you know, I'm like, put your hand on me, whatever. I see the hand deal there. It's kind of in the Bible. And I need God's power. Power of God came on me that day. And I will tell you, I wasn't at a Christian college. And I needed the power of God. I needed the power of God to be able to say yes to God and no to the world. And to not go do things that I shouldn't do. I needed God's power. And I couldn't do it in my own strength. How many are grateful for God's power? Come on. How many are grateful for God's power? Yeah. So here's what I want to do. In the remainder of my time, I want to give you guys four ways the Holy Spirit works in our lives. This is not exhaustive. There's obviously more ways, but this is something that gets you in and hungry about the Scripture. And you begin to see, as you read the Bible, you begin to see the Holy Spirit's all over the Bible. Remember, the Holy Spirit's God, not a different God. There's one God, three distinct persons. But it's really important that we understand who the Holy Spirit and what he does. All right, number one, here it is. Number one, the Holy Spirit leads us into truth. John chapter 14, verse 26, but the helper, everyone say helper. Let's think about this. This is God, the Holy Spirit, but the helper. Pastor, you think God wants to help me in life? I don't know. One of his names is helper. You figure it out. But the helper, everybody say helper. That's one of his names. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The disciples were kind of freaked out one day. They're like, wait a minute, you're going away? He's like, oh yeah, I'm going away. Jesus said, I'm going away. And he said, but don't freak out, because I'm sending allos parakletos, allos, another parakletos. I'm sending another one to come alongside of you. What does the word parakletos mean? Here it is. The Greek word parakletos means one called alongside to, come on, say it, help. Have you ever thought about that before? It's the Holy Spirit of God that actually has been sent to the earth to help you. You ever had it, somebody that's like really just like been an advocate for you and just stood with you? It's like, whoa. The helper is like times 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. I mean, you can't even, it's not even an equivalence. The Holy Spirit is the divine helper. Well, what does he help us do? Jesus continues. Number one, he's gonna teach you all things. Well, what is he saying to those disciples? He's not suggesting that all the Old Testament scrolls that they've been reading up to that point are going to immediately disappear. He's not suggesting that there's no longer a need for rabbis in the time of Christ or teachers or pastors or prophets. No, he's not saying that. What he is saying is that the Holy Spirit is going to actually help you as the divine interpreter and illuminate God's truth. Do you know how hard it is to understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit on the inside of you? You're like, I don't really get it. How many of y'all, and I'm just going to ask for a show of hands. I don't like to ask a lot of questions. How many of y'all can be honest enough to say after you became a Christian and the Holy Spirit came in to live on the inside of you, that the Bible really opened up and started to make sense for the first time? Would you just raise your hand? Okay, I'll tell you why, and I say this respectfully. It's not because you got intellectually smarter. Maybe a little bit, because some of y'all stopped doing some other things like me that stopped. But say, oh, wow, it's amazing. You know, don't read into that. But anyway, because I'm holier than 99% of y'all. But anyway, but it's the Holy Spirit. Watch this. That's why in the morning time, the Holy Spirit, you read the Word of God. The Spirit, remember, who wrote the Bible? Yes, God used men, but it was inspired by the who? Say it. Holy Spirit. Who do you think knows the Bible better than anybody? The Holy Spirit. So it's Holy Spirit quickens words and truth and scripture. It's powerful. It leads us into truth. What does it mean he leads us into truth? There's a lie in our culture today that there is no absolutes. Basically, you know, this cultural paradigm today, you know, it's relativism, postmodernism, you know, it's like, you live your truth, I live my truth. No, it's not like your truth, it's like the truth. How many of y'all are grateful for it? The truth. The truth. That's so weird. If you even think logically, the deduction, if you just go down, your truth, my truth, my truth. So weird. I'm sorry, part of God fell off. All right, here we go. I'll take care of him later. I'm sorry, that's funny. He leads us into truth. If there's ever a time and ever a generation that needs the Holy Spirit to lead him into truth, it's now. We need to base our life on truth, not your truth, not my truth, but the truth. It is the Spirit of God that quickens the Bible to build a foundation in you that the gates of hell cannot shake. How many are grateful for the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit brings to your remembrance, John chapter 14, verse 26, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. John chapter 12, 26, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, that they may be remembered, the things that were written about him. How many times you're in a situation, the Holy Spirit brings scriptures back to you. How many times you're in a situation, maybe personally you're overwhelmed, and it's like something that you heard a preacher, me, somebody say, or something that in the word that you were studying, and it's like a scripture comes up and it gives you the confidence to move forward. Why? He brings it to your remembrance. Okay, you're gonna wanna write this down. If you'll hide the word of God in your heart when you don't need it, it'll be there for the Holy Spirit to bring it up when you do need it. I'm going to say it one more time. Here it is. If you'll hide the word of God in your heart when you don't need it, you'll have something there for the Holy Spirit to bring up when you do need it. How many times I've been in conversation with people, it's like, and it's like a scripture comes up, and I'm like, I'm not that smart. I'm like, how do I, what's the Holy Spirit? He brings to your remembrance. But you got to hide the word in your heart. Give him something to work with. Lead you into all, everyone say it, truth. Not your truth, but his truth. Number two, the second thing the Holy Spirit does is he helps us in prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. Paul talks about besetting weaknesses, human frailty, the proclivity of human nature, of the brokenness of humanity. We all have weaknesses. Nobody's perfect. We all have flesh we deal with. We've got challenges, wounds, and different things. Paul says we have weaknesses, but there it is. The Holy Spirit is what? Helping us even in our weaknesses. What God is saying is that you don't have to be colored by your weakness. I actually want to move in and help you in your weakness. He says, likewise, the Spirit helps us. Everyone say helps. He helps us in our weaknesses. Christianity is not about your willpower. It's about God's power. For we do not know for what we should pray for as we ought. You ever been there before? Man, you know, God bless mommy, God bless daddy, God bless the dog. I'm done. I mean, how many times have you been there before? You know, I don't have anything else to say. Well, it's the Spirit himself that makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Inarticulate. In other words, at times, like, what do I say? Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What's the point here? Do you know how many times in my life I'm going through situations, I'm going through struggles, and I go into prayer, and I actually don't even know what to pray. And if I'll just open myself up to the Spirit of God, my thoughts begin to get flooded with God's thoughts and God's word. So in other words, I start praying the very things. First of all, he knows what my need really is. So now I'm praying and he gives you thoughts. And there's a fluid nature to this where God downloads into your being. He gives you thoughts. You start praying those thoughts. Why would God actually even want to give you thoughts? So that he can answer your prayer and he can know, and that, so that you can know that he's a good God that loves you. So he'll actually give you thoughts. If you'll open yourself to the Spirit of God, it's not to suggest you can't read a prayer. Of course you can. There's times where you're just laid out before God, though, and just crying out to God. And I don't know how you pray. Maybe you lay on the ground. I tried kneeling. I remember at Bible school, I kneeled down. I thought, oh, I'm just going to kneel down. You know, Martin Luther, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, he kneeled down. I remember, so I thought, I'm going to kneel down 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. So I just kind of did like this, said my prayers. You know, I woke up at 6:30. I'm like, so I don't do the kneel thing. Y'all are much holier. I got to do the kind of walking back and forth thing. So I got to walk. Why is Pastor walking? I don't want to go to sleep. God wants to help you in your prayers. And if you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, he'll help you. Paul says he'll help you even when you don't know what to pray. Number one, he leads you into truth. Number two, he'll help you in your prayer life. You've got to open yourself up to the Spirit of God. Number three, the Holy Spirit helps you to become more like Jesus. Now, you don't become divinity. Don't misunderstand me. You have humanity, but you grow in the character of Jesus. That's important. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for whom he foreknew, the foreknowledge of God, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. We grow in Christ's likeness, in our character, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Three primary goals that God has for each one of us. Number one, to know Christ. Number two, to know our purpose. Number three, to grow in the character of Jesus on the earth. It's not so much what you're doing, but who you're becoming in the process. That's growing in grace, growing in Christ's character. Well, how do you grow in Christ's character? You have to make a choice to yield to the Spirit of God. By the way, you guys remember years ago, they had those, I think they still have them, how many of y'all remember WWJD bracelets coming out? And what does that stand for? What would, okay, remember those? You know, so here's the concept, for those of you that may not know. Here's the concept. So you've got a WWJD bracelet on, right? So you're pulling out of church. Somebody cuts you off in front of the policeman. You know, and just when you're, you know, getting ready to go, hey! And do something with your hand that's not Christian, you see on your bracelets, oh! And you go, hi, God bless you. So that's the concept. Oh, because what would Jesus do? Well, let me help everybody. When somebody cuts you off, last thing you're doing is looking at your wrist for a signal. This is hilarious today. I'm not even trying. It's the Holy Spirit. No, I'm just joking. A wrist. A bracelet on your wrist doesn't give you power to overcome your carnality. It's the Spirit of God on the inside of you that gives you the strength to overcome that. Now, lest we have a merchandise agent for that bracelet in the church, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying you better have the Spirit in your heart. Okay, is that fair? The reality is, as Christians, we have a daily choice. Are we going to fulfill the flesh or the Spirit? That's a choice right there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Everybody say, walk in the Spirit. There's the choice. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So what's the goal? The goal is becoming like Christ, growing in the character of Jesus. And how is the character of Jesus, watch this, identified? If you're like, okay, I'm going to do like this board, and I want to see the character of Jesus on the board. You know what that's called? The 9 fruits of the Spirit. That's a picture of the character of Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, what does it mean? The evidence of the Spirit, what does that mean? The evidence of you and I growing and yielding to the Holy Spirit in our lives is we grow in love, we grow in joy, we grow in peace, we grow in long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, the number one way to recognize, you got to see this, we recognize the Spirit of God is growing in our heart in the with the character of Christ is demonstrating from our life as we yield to the Holy Spirit. So where's our will in this? It's not willpower. Your will is the switch that yields to the Spirit of God. There's a release of power in your life. So your will's important, but it's not your willpower to change you. It's your willpower to yield to a greater power. Walk in the Spirit. Not in the flesh. What does that mean? I choose to follow God. I choose to yield to the Spirit. Yeah. Are y'all learning anything? Is this helping anybody? You can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You can't understand the Bible without the Holy Spirit. You can't grow in the grace of God. It's that important. All right, let me close with this. The Holy Spirit gives you power to be a witness. Jesus, in his final words, as he ascends to the Father, he's on the Mount of Olives. I've been, literally, it's really cool. Right there in Israel, looking over the old city, he's on the Mount of Olives, and he says these last words, the last words of Jesus, right before what's called the divine ascension. We ascends to the Father, sits down at the right hand of God. And he says these words to his disciples because they were a little scared. Man, they're getting ready to have to go out in this world and their master's leaving, their teacher's leaving, and what are they going to do? And who's going to be around them? And who's going to help them? And people are mocking the followers of Jesus. They heard about the cross deal, and then they kind of heard, some people heard about the resurrection deal, and 500 people saw Jesus after he was resurrected, and you guys are connected to him, and what's going to happen? Maybe that's where you are. You came to church, gave your heart to Christ, and you're concerned about what's going to happen with some old relationships and friendships, and are you going to be able to stand for God? I'm not talking about being obnoxious and rude. I am talking about being convictional in your lifestyle. Where you're able to say, you know what, man, I'm kind of going a different way right now. I'm following Jesus. And whether it's on a school campus, a college campus, high school, whether it's in a boardroom, a back room, wherever it is, there is a need for greater power to stand for God. And Jesus gives us the clue. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, here's what he says to these disciples. He said, hey guys, go wait in Jerusalem, and here's the reason why. When you do, you're praying, you shall receive, what's that next word? Say it, power. You know the word power there? It's a Greek word, dunamis, where we translate in the English the word what? Dynamite. This is the words of Jesus. You shall receive dynamite. What? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in your neighborhood, and at your school, and in your business, and inside your church, and outside your church, and at the gym, wherever it is that you go, you shall be a witness for me. But you won't do it in your own strength. You'll do it because of my power on the inside of you. You'll do it to the ends of the earth. His disciples are like, man, we need your power, Jesus. We need your power. We need your strength. If there's ever a generation that needs the power of the Holy Spirit to be baptized in the Spirit, to be anointed with the Spirit, to be filled afresh with the Spirit, it's the generation that will live in. And I'm going to tell you why. Because this world desperately needs some witnesses for Christ. They need some people. They're not perfect. We're not perfect. But we've been filled with power. And we've got a story. And we want to tell it to a broken world. But we don't do it in our own strength. We do it by the power of God. So, Pastor, what do you do? I recognize my frailty. By the way, the older you get, the more you recognize that. Isn't that right? You recognize, like Paul said, except by the grace of God, there go I. It's God's sustaining grace, God's power, God's strength. So each morning I'll read my Bible first, just my flow. And I drink coffee first, just in case God doesn't get me going. That helps. No, just joking. There's nothing wrong with that. I literally do the exact same thing every morning. I have one cup of coffee. I open my Bible. I do the life journal. After I do that, I have an upstairs study. I go upstairs. And literally, the first thing I do is I open my hands to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I need you. I need you today. Fill me with your spirit. I'm talking about I need your presence to even know how to pray. I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. By the way, I invite the presence of God into my Bible reading too. It's like, Lord, I need you. And so I'm going to teach you how to do it wherever you are, whatever location, those that are joining online as well, TV, wherever, in jails and prisons, wherever you are, you can just close your eyes and just put your hands out in front of you. It's not spooky and weird. It's a posture of surrender. And this is what I do. And I say this, Jesus is the one that fills you with his spirit, by the way. So I'm talking to Christians, a Christian that has the Holy Spirit within them, but needs a fresh infilling upon them, through them. And I'll say this in the morning, just say this, say, Jesus, fill me with your spirit. I literally will say that. Just say that again. Say, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And as I say that, I'll often just lift my hands to God and I'll begin to just worship God. I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll sing in my understanding. I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray in my understanding. And I'll just begin to worship God. And wherever I am, whatever I'm dealing with, I'm telling you, it lifts me out of that moment. I'm not talking about my body levitates. I'm talking about my spirit rises. There's a strength. I worship you, Jesus. Jesus, I worship you, and I love you, and I honor you, and I just begin to worship God. I need you. Holy Spirit, fill me with fresh power. There's challenges in my life today that are bigger than me. I need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit power. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah. I do that every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day. Well, what's the first step to being filled with the Spirit? First, you need to know Christ and surrender your heart to Jesus. And maybe there's some people here today that do not know Jesus. That's the first step. Because I was talking to Christians just then. If you're not a Christian, you want to surrender your heart to Christ. Matter of fact, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, every one of our locations, I want to pray for you. You've never come to faith in Christ. You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that you know if you died today that you're ready to stand before God? I can't save you. Church of the King can't save you. Jesus saves. He'll wash you and cleanse you and make you new. So in just a moment, all of our locations and those that are watching online, all of us joined together, I'm going to ask for a show of hands in just a moment. If you say, Pastor, pray for me. I need Christ. I need the blood of Jesus to wash me. I want to surrender my heart with God. I'm not at peace with God. If that's you at the count of three, I want you to lift your hand up high so I can see it and we'll pray. You guys ready? Here we go. Pastor, I need Christ. If that's you, 1, 2, 3. Quickly, hold your hand up high. All of our locations, every single one of you guys, just lift your hand up high. Yeah. Our campus pastors are coming on stage right now. All of our different campuses. Just God is touching people. He's saving people right now. All of the hands. It's awesome. Our church, we're going to pray with all of our locations with one voice. Can we pray together with those that are trusting Jesus? This is the most important prayer they'll ever pray. Literally, they're going from death to life. The Bible, literally, from darkness to light. Let's pray with them right now. Come on, everyone say, Dear Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. Say, Jesus, I repent of my sin. I let go of my past, and I turn to you. I turn to the cross. Say, Jesus, wash with your blood. Give me a new heart, a new life, a new reason to live. I want you to say this. Say, Jesus, I take my life, and I put it in your hands. Say, from this day forward, I belong to you. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you for the sealing work of the Holy Spirit and the word of the living God taking root deep in the hearts of your people.
Wow, what an incredible message. And I really hope that you're walking away encouraged and full of hope that God is with you and God loves you. And I do want to take a second to talk to those of you who may be making a decision right now to commit your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe to recommit your life to Christ. If that is you, we are so excited for you. And as a church, we would love nothing more than to just walk alongside you, to show you what it means to follow Jesus. Because we believe that you're leaving the past in the past, and this is not the finish line, it's actually the starting line of an amazing life of following Jesus for the rest of your life. So would you give us the privilege of just following up with you, giving you some resources and helping you as you're beginning to walk out this new life of following Jesus. And again, congratulations, we're so excited for you. And if you do want to be a part of just partnering with us to continue to reach people and build lives, you can always go online to churchoftheking.com/give to be a part of seeing the gospel go forth and people to hear about Jesus. And lastly, I want to encourage you, if you're not already, to subscribe to our YouTube channel, to follow us on Facebook, to really stay up to date with all that God has for us, all the content that we're putting out. Pastor Steve has some powerful messages every single week for us, and we're really growing and learning what it means to live out the life that God has for us. I encourage you to follow along, to be a part of all that God is doing here at Church of the King. And again, we just want to say thank you for being a part of our service today. We love you guys. We hope you have an awesome rest of the week, and we'll see you very soon.